This is a podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Can something with artificial intelligence created by scientists in a lab have morals and ethics? And whose morals and ethics should they be? Should it be the person or people who created the intelligence? Or should it be an agreed-upon set of ethics that has broad community support? As artificial intelligence becomes more widespread in our society, from smartphones to self-driving cars to virtual assistants to robots, who should decide what these machines believe and what ethics and morals they impose on those who use artificial intelligence? Dr. Claire Benn is a researcher in the ethics and philosophy of technology and is part of the Humanizing Machine Intelligence Project at the Australian National University. Dr. Claire Benn, welcome to Overnights.
Thanks very much for having me.
How do you explain what it is that you do to people who don't really know a lot about AI? Let's begin with a working definition of what you say artificial intelligence is. It's a very broad spectrum, artificial intelligence, AI. What's your working definition for what you're working with?
Well, you're absolutely right that it's a very, very broad term and it covers a lot of different kinds of practices. In some important respects, then almost everything involving computers may, under some definitions, involve AI. But I follow David Danks and his definition, which is that it's a technology that's designed to augment or replace human cognitive labour. So if we think about everything that the human brain does, from sensing the world to learning or reasoning, planning courses of actions, or even acting in the world, then AI attempts to replicate and or replace human beings in those roles.
So that could be from something as simple as a pocket calculator, perhaps, that just does those calculations faster, all the way up to something that we haven't even thought about yet. Where do ethics come into this? When do robots, for want of a better term, when do they have to start determining what ethics are?
Well, ethics comes in all the way through the entire life cycle of the development of these technologies. It's really easy, I think, to think of AI like a pencil or a screwdriver, that it's just a tool. And it kind of depends what you do with that tool. And that's where the ethics comes in. And of course, we can use screwdrivers to help us to build things, or we can use them to stab people. And obviously the former is good and the latter is wrong. But that would be a mistake to think that that's the only way in which we should care about ethics when it comes to AI. How we design these technologies is itself an ethical question. And the long-term consequences of using these technologies in different ways, even for short-term benefits, are themselves very, very value-laden.
That's the key question, isn't it? Is whose ethics, whose values are we talking about? Because yours are different to mine. They're different to the person who invented, for want of a better term, this robot or this artificial intelligence. The person that uses it is very different to the person who invents it. So at what point along the line do ethics come into it, or where ethics are imposed on it?
Well, the issue of whose ethics, I think, is one of the most important questions for us to address. AI ethics, as it stands right now, is very, very new. It's very early on in the process. We're only really now getting to grips with the idea that these kinds of technologies are intrinsically value-laden. They have values baked into them from the very, very start. But we have only really been trying to say, okay, suppose that we take one person's ethics, take a kind of average person in the Western world, and we take their particular ethical point of view. How can we make something like a robot or a self-driving car or an algorithm involved in policing, how can that reflect that one person's ethical perspectives? When we start to acknowledge that, of course, you're completely right, we do not share the same ethical perspective, even people from the same society or community or have the same kind of traits will have very different views about what's right and wrong. How we can respect that diversity of views is something we're not even close to being able to tackle yet. Though I should point out that we do think, in at least some democracies when they work well, that we can accommodate in a political system a diversity of values. And so that might be one place to look to see how we can accommodate them when it comes to designing technologies.
So we're wrong if we think that everyone has to agree on what these values are.
Oh, yes. And actually, if you think we all have to agree on the values, I think you're presuming some sort of totalitarian or despotic regime where everyone is forced to agree. And I don't want to live in a world where we all agree. There's a great value itself in the diversity of views that are represented around the world. And instead, we should be looking to respect that diversity.
At what point do we have to respect the views of the creator of a particular form of artificial intelligence. You might want to give us an example of one, because people are forever arguing about what the creator's views are when it comes to religion. You know, if they call God that, you know, well, this is what God wants. People are forever arguing about what those who designed the Constitution, whether here or America or elsewhere, what they actually meant by it. How can we know what the creator of any form of artificial intelligence actually intended us to follow, that if he's creating ethics or she's creating ethics as well?
Yeah, so the role of the creators of these technologies is really profound. They are often the one who have a great deal of control over the final outcome. And often we, as members of society or consumers, we're already working within the framework that they set out. So if, for example, the internet is set up so that services are offered seemingly for free, but often in exchange for our data that is then processed through AI to feed back into a system of advertising that hopefully then persuades us to buy certain products rather than others. Now, as a consumer, like, how can we really opt out of that? What kind of control do we have on the end of that process? Not much. But I also think we should be reluctant to think that it's just some programmer or some computer scientist out there who is making all these calls as well. The system is enormous, and it runs all the way from governments and the kind of regulation that they impose or don't impose, up to the CEOs of big tech companies and the kind of strategies that they put in place, the trajectories for their organizations that determine the development of these kind of technologies. And so there's a lot of players in this, and we all make a contribution to the final outcome. We don't have complete control, but we also do have some input in this.
Dr. Claire Benn is our guest. As we talk about, I suppose, ethics involved in artificial intelligence, when it comes to self-driving cars, of course, ordinary cars driven by humans, they harm people. Can you in some way program into self-driving cars not to leave the scene of an accident, not to go through a red light, not to go through a stop sign, all those things that we all agree are wrong, but people still do anyway?
We often can agree, as you say, on certain core ethical values, like don't run a red light. And yet we are weak. We often don't live up even to the beliefs that we ourselves hold. Sometimes we're running late, or sometimes we think something else is important, or we weren't paying enough attention. And the promise of AI and technologies like it is that it can help free us from all of those limitations that we ourselves suffer. And that gives it a great potential. And I think it's definitely possible to program self-driving cars to be much more law-abiding than human beings. The problem is that while AI is incredibly powerful, it's also incredibly stupid in certain specific ways that human beings aren't. They are not very good at things that are vague or fuzzy. They are very literal. They will do exactly what you tell them, but only what you tell them. And so when it comes to a situation that perhaps the designers hadn't anticipated, where a human being would show a great deal of judgment, that is going to be missing in the case of AI currently.
Is that happening, though, with, say, self-driving cars, or can you give me other examples of where ordinary everyday inventions have ethics programmed into them?
Yes. So if we take, for example, facial recognition technologies. So we've been seeing recently how these technologies are very good when it comes to white faces, male faces, particularly in well-lit environments when they're completely stationary. And their ability to recognize faces in that limited situation is extraordinary, far, far better than most human beings are capable of. However, they tend to be very, very poor at recognizing people of color, especially black women, and moving images as well. And here what we end up with is we realize that the world in which we live in is not itself fair, and these technologies are a mere reflection of our world. They're a big mirror held up to humanity. And so because their training data in this instance didn't contain sufficient numbers of ethnic minorities or women, then they end up at the end of the day not very good. The notion, we call it, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If you give it bad data, you're going to end up with a bad system. And that's only one kind of form of bias that you might have. But what we can see is that these technologies, as smart as they are, and they can be absolutely incredibly accurate within a narrow parameters, also can be extremely stupid outside of those parameters. In this case, with images that they weren't sufficiently trained on.
But that is a practical problem for those applications. That's not really an ethical problem, is it?
It's an ethical problem insofar as it means that the consequence of using this technology is that it can compound historical injustice. And it's easy for us to be unaware of the kinds of effects it can have in that sense. And here's one way, though, in which the problem gets even deeper. This whole area is understood as kind of fair AI. So how can we get AI to be fair when it is interacting with the world? And the first thing that philosophers do, of course, is ask, well, what do you mean by fair? And a lot of research has now gone into this. And it turns out that certain kind of key ways of understanding fairness are mutually incompatible. That it's not possible to have certain kinds of fairness be realized in a system at the same time. And so here's one way in which values get baked in from the very start. We have to choose. We have to choose which values to prioritize over which other values when we can't have them all. And we can see this happen across all technologies, that there will always be trade-offs that we have to make. And which trade-offs are made then becomes part of the very definition and design of these systems.
But for everyday people, the only choice they usually make when it comes to technology is, do you click this saying, accept this, the terms and conditions, even though you haven't read it, you say that you have read it, and you click that. Why can't we have a better way of involving everyday people in these decisions rather than making these ethical or moral or value-based decisions right at the very start of the process rather than at the end user's encounter with it?
Absolutely. I completely agree. The whole click to consent business, I think, is fundamentally flawed. Almost nobody ever reads all the terms and conditions. And even if you try to, and I have tried, they are nearly impossible to understand. But also, I think what they fail to acknowledge is this is not an individual problem. Even if I opt out of a lot of services by not consenting, then I'm going to suffer a great deal of inconvenience, but actually there's almost no benefit because they can learn a lot about me from all the other people in my social network who do say yes. So all my contact details that my friends have can be given away by my friends to social media companies, whether or not I consent. And so my consent is in some sense nearly meaningless in that context, not only because it's ineffectual, but also because it's not truly informed. And so the solution is exactly what you said, which is to have ethics by design, to start off in the design process, looking at the different ways in which voices are represented, that different values are being prioritized over others, and thinking about that from the very start. And the trick is, as you say, is how to involve ordinary people. Because when we talk about our values, the question is, who is us in that sentence? And it is normally a teeny tiny minority of a population, mainly those involved in Silicon Valley, who get to decide this, even at the design stage. And so, you know, I see myself as a researcher, part of my responsibility is to take these questions not only out of Silicon Valley, but also out of the academy and engage with the public and show them how important these issues are and that they need to be involved in determining fundamentally what kind of society we want to live in.
When people are concerned about AI turning on us, for example, they think that robots are going to attack us or something. We've got more of a concern, really, in what we already consent to, the information that we already give to artificial intelligence or intelligence or that sort of thing, that these huge companies that have our information. The concern is that we're giving it to them rather than that, you know, robots or whatever are taking it from us.
Absolutely. I mean, I do think that there is a place to think about and consider the issues regarding, you know, killer robots or kind of these dystopian...
You're telling me there's a worry about killer robots?
There's a place for thinking about it, that I agree with. But in the work that I do, I think that issues of deep, deep concern that are shaping the very trajectory of our society are here right now. And that is because the technology we have right now is, as I've said, powerful, but also kind of stupid. And it's also unpredictable and yet pervasive. It is being adopted in everything from the camera in your smartphone all the way through to the pricing of your home insurance to the government and the police. It's here right now, and we should be concerned with the kind of society it's creating.
Claire, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's Dr. Claire Benn, researcher in the ethics and philosophy of technology, and she's part of the Humanising Machine Intelligence Project at the ANU. Well, that's another podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.